Hallelujah. Now, you know, God's new wine is a type of the blood of Christ. You're saying I'm drinking God's new wine. When Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he picked up the cup and he said, this cup, which was a cup of what? Wine, right? Or grape juice. Oh, we don't know what it was. Who cares what it was? He picked it up and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. The old covenant had blood of bulls and goats. The old covenant was the old wineskin. You couldn't put the new covenant into the old covenant. It would break it. It would blow it apart. This is what else I heard. Somebody in here is making a decision and you're putting something out before God for something to change, something to start or something. I don't know what it is, but it's in a category of kind of what we would call a fleece. You remember a fleece? Remember Gideon? You might say, well, Gideon put out a fleece, didn't he? But here's the deal. Gideon wasn't born again. He didn't have the Holy Spirit of God inside of him. You couldn't say to Gideon, why don't you just check down inside of you and ask the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wasn't inside of Gideon. Wasn't there. Nobody was home. Because for us, there's somebody beside you inside you. And they thought, you know, what if God lived inside of you? What if God lived inside of you? What a different life that would be. And most Christians go, yeah, that'd be a really different life if God lived on the inside of me. Yeah, I can just only imagine what that would be like. The power that raised Christ from the dead inside. Gideon couldn't ask on the inside. There was nobody home. He put out a fleece. You don't have to put out a fleece. You just have to hear from God and do what God said. You don't have to put out for a time, or if this happens or if that happens, then I'll know. You can know by the Spirit of God on the inside of you and just go with that. How simple is that? Can you imagine God being on the inside of you? Just try to use your brain to think about that, your mind to think about that. And what is God, the Holy Spirit, doing right now on the inside of you? I don't know, sitting there, waiting. What's he doing? In most Christians, what does he do in the average day? Not much. Not much. I guess not much. He's a hitchhiker, a silent hitchhiker, kind of hiding out of sight where you don't really know he's there. Most Christians, I want to be the kind of Christian that it's kind of busy in here, kind of a lot of talking. I want to be the kind of Christian that from the inside out, it's like, you have no idea what's going on in the inside of me. I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm seeing all this stuff. I'm being sent to all these different places. A busy Christian from the inside out, yielding to the Holy Spirit rather than just going through and trying to figure out with my brain what the next thing to do would be. A busy Christian from the inside out. A Christian that is in love with the person they're hanging out with. Did you know the Holy Spirit of God loves you? I know Jesus does. We got that one down, right? Does the Father God love you? You got that one down, right? The Holy Spirit of God loves you. There's love on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God loves you as much as Jesus and the Father does, and was sent for a purpose. Why? Well, there was no jobs in heaven at the time, you know, and there was this unemployment on the inside of they think, well, why don't you go to earth and see if there's something you can do? I mean, how did that happen? Do you think the Holy Spirit was thrilled to come to earth? Like, don't put me in that one. Don't put me in that. No. I'll be trapped until they die. No. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't. But in some Christians, you wonder. They said, do you know that you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you? Well, I know they say that. Oh, my. He's doing word games. I don't know what he's doing in some Christians. Waiting for the little bit of opportunity to do something. I want to say, how about if I get out of your way and we'll do what you want to do today, okay? We'll do what you want to do today. I was crabby 2 days ago, wasn't I? I don't think I was. Wasn't that? I was having a time of it. Grumpy, crabby. And where'd that come from? Well, I don't think the Holy Spirit inside of me was grumpy or crabby that day. It's like, I'm just moving with the Holy Spirit. He's grumpy today, okay? He wasn't. I was. And it's like, oh, when is this guy going to get over himself, you know? Oh, where is the peace of God? Where is the peace that Jesus promised? Where is it? The Holy Spirit is sitting inside. I got some right here. The peace of God inside of us. Got some right here. Where's the joy of the Lord that's my strength? Got some right here. It's the same place that the Holy Spirit is, resident inside of us. And yet some people don't tap into it. They don't use it. They go through a whole day without peace. They get crabby. And Shelley's solution is, you need to pray, Gary. No, it's usually eat something. Just eat something. Will you eat something? Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. But what is the Holy Spirit supposed to do? Would you want to be the Holy Spirit inside of you? Would you like to be the Holy Spirit inside of you? Well, that'd be a great assignment. I want the Holy Spirit glad that he's inside of me. I want the Holy Spirit saying, yes, Jesus is raised up. People are falling in love with God again, not the religion. And I get to say something, and they're listening, and they say that too. I want a different life for the rest of my life, but I don't want a life apart from God. That means I have to include God. I have to be more God-conscious, God-yielding, God-mindful. If I'm going to have this different kind of a life, why are we so desperate to hold on to the same? The things that we're just like, well, we don't want it to get worse. We'll just keep doing what we're doing. Well, I've got everything covered now. It's all good. When we could have this different life, a completely different life. Christians that have been born again for years, decades, can have a different life. God is always on the up and up. God is always on the greater. God is always saying, come up here. Come up here. Share in this experience. The Holy Spirit would like to show you what happens in the spirit realm when you speak words by faith in your prayers. The Holy Spirit would like you to see what he sees so that you could go out with confidence that what you prayed is a done deal. That mountains did move when you prayed that prayer. That people were healed when you said those words. That salvation and deliverance came and it shot around the world because you cooperated for a few seconds with the Holy Spirit and spoke something by faith and the Holy Spirit wants you to see what just happened. That your words shot around the world. Angels were released at the command of God the Father because they had something they could work with, because your words were less about you and more about God. I would like to completely disappear, where people looked at me and said, you know, I can't look at them, and every time I look at them, I see Jesus. I can't remember his name. He's over in India right now. He played the piano in healing school for forever and ever. He left for India a couple years back. What is his name? You know who I'm talking about? He's got dark hair, kind of a darker kind of skin. He's been in India for a couple years. I can't look at him without seeing Jesus. I can't look around. It's like, well, just I can't find you in there. All I see is Jesus all over you. No matter what he does, wherever he goes, I look at him, I think, wow, it's like Jesus just stepped into the room, but it was this guy. Humble, smile on his face, quiet in his nature. Whatever God asks him to do, he does his best to do it. Probably somebody that you'd walk by and not think twice about, but use mightily of God. I'd like to so disappear that people walk by me and go, whoa, something's different. I just walk past this person, and I don't know what it is about them, but they are so different. They are so different. And it's not like I want to disappear completely. I want to disappear to the point that you can't tell where God starts and I start, where our covenant relationship is so intertwined that they're seeing both at the same time, that it's impossible to just look at that person. But that's what I want to do. That's what I'm looking forward to this week, because it's kind of like this week is a beginning for me too. I don't even know where the other end of this is. I really don't care. I've been falling in love with Jesus over the last couple weeks and months, and they've been some of the hardest weeks and months, with Dennis and Joy dying and going to heaven early, and I'm saying, Dennis, how do I do light switches? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Or my friend suiciding and the memorial service coming up. And he went to, he was a mentor. He pulled me out of the darkest place at a time when my choices could go dark or light. And he said, let's go have coffee. The greatest thing about my friend Joel that just went to heaven was that he didn't say a Bible verse. He said, let's go have coffee. Then he said, let's go fishing. Then he said, let's play Risk table game. Then he said, let's go to Bible study. Well, I went to them all. I said, boy, you pulled me out of the dark place. He said, I just thought I was having fun with a cool guy. That was me. I was the cool guy. I didn't know I was the cool guy. I thought I was a guy in trouble trying to find which way to go. And we had a friend named Mike McGowan, killed by a drunk driver at the age of 21 or 22. I don't know how old he was. Do you know, David? 26? Yeah, I can't tell the difference between a 21-year-old and 26-year-old either. But he was killed by a drunk driver. And the thing about him, he was one of Joel's best friends. So when Mike would step into the room, you checked yourself on what you were thinking and what jokes you were telling and all that stuff. Mike had a good paying job. He gave 90% of it to the ministry and lived off 10% in a room in his parents' basement so he could take 90% of what came in and pour it into the kingdom of God. When Mike stepped into the room, simple and quiet, it's like, Mike's here. It was like Jesus stepped into the room. what he said was important. What Jesus said was important. What Mike said was important. When Mike was killed, it was like, somebody was coming from this disco called the Spectrum, underage drinkers they had served, and they crossed the line and hit him. And he was gone like that. I didn't go to the funeral. I couldn't go to the funeral. I could have gone to the funeral, but I couldn't go to the funeral, if you know what I mean. It was like I just couldn't make myself go. 4 years later, I'm working for the government, and I'm sitting at my desk, and I wrote a goodbye letter to Mike. And then I found Joel, and I said, Joel, I don't know who to give this to. I wrote a goodbye letter, but how do you give a letter to somebody that went to heaven already? I said, he was your close friend. So I'm giving you Mike's goodbye letter. I didn't know. I knew the cemetery was buried in. I went there. I thought, man, I should at least go and look at his grave. It's been 4 years now. I got to the cemetery, and I thought, how am I supposed to find him? And there's a man standing on the hill by alone, a man. And I walked up to the guy. I said, do you know where Mike McGowan's gravestone is? And he didn't say anything. He just went like this. And I followed that to where he pointed, and there was his gravestone. I don't know who that person was. It could have been a person. It could have been, who knows. But so I walked over there, and then I wept. I didn't cry for 4 years, but I cried that day. But the thing about Mike, even though his life was short, it felt like Jesus walked into the room. A kid in their 20s felt like Jesus walked into the room. How come? How come it felt like Jesus walked into the room? He was, yeah, he did. You couldn't tell where Mike started and Jesus started. You couldn't tell. They had blended together so well. I wanted to be a better person when Mike was in the room. I wanted to think differently. I wanted to talk differently. It made me want to be better. And that's what I long for again, even though all these years of ministry, I've become a Martha. And I want to leave as a Mary. I want to leave at the feet of Jesus. I want to be able to say, I know that didn't get done. I know there's a to-do list over there. It'll all get done or it won't. It will or it won't. But I need to spend some time with God to the point where I'm not stopping and starting my life. I mean, do you remember starting and stopping reading your Bible, starting and stopping praying and starting and stopping? I want to get to the point where there is no starting and stopping points. It just flows into the next thing. It just goes into the next thing where you pick up where you left off and the next one picks up where it left off without guilt, without shame, without any kind of thing other than just living it into the next. I want people to be able to say, I can't tell where Jesus starts and where Gary stops. I can't tell. And I know I'm not there. Absolutely know I'm not there. But you have no idea over the last couple months. I know you don't have any idea. Maybe some of you have picked up on it in the spirit. At the places I've gone and grown to, and I think, oh, can I back up 30 years and start again with where I am now? And I thought 30 years ago I was probably at this spot. I was Mary. And I morphed into Martha, the morphing of Martha. I want to get back to Mary. And the stuff will still get done. but I don't know how to do it unless I'm absolutely in love. Can you imagine being in love with someone? Can you imagine being in love with someone? Have you ever loved someone? Being in love with them? Have you ever been in love with someone, then got used to them, and then think, man, I need to do some things that would be defined as love, like words and deeds and such? Can you imagine dating someone and coming home and saying, I managed to spend 2 hours with them? Whew. It was a long, tough date, but I made it through the whole 2 hours. Can you imagine? I made it through. Now I'm done until our next date. Whew. I made it all the way through. I managed to talk with them. And then you get to a point in your relationship where hours have gone by and you go, what? It's not that late. What? Where did the hours go? I want to live that kind of life with God. I want to live that kind of life. And the only way I know to get there is to embrace my holiness. And that's not, because the devil will tell you holiness is like sitting on your hands and don't think and don't do anything. As long as you don't do anything, don't move, don't think, don't do anything, then you'll be holy. Trying to say that holiness is reducing your life to as little as possible instead of the maximum of everything. Have you ever thought that to be holy, I have to just stop doing everything and quit thinking and stop doing and so I'm down to like zero? That's not holy. You are holy. You're a holy nation now. You're holy now. We've got, who's that person on the inside of us? The Holy Spirit? Why didn't they call him the Happy Spirit? Why didn't they call him the, why do you think he called himself the Holy Spirit? If we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, what do we become? You think that's a good thing? We won't get to have any fun. You have no idea when God decides what fun you're going to have, what a fun time that is going to be. If you're holy, you won't enjoy your life. If you're holy, you will enjoy it to a level that you've never enjoyed before. Holy isn't zeroing your life out to nothing. Holy is embracing and yielding to what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do. And then you read this scripture called the Holy, what is that book again? Bible? The Holy Bible? The Holy Scriptures? The Holy Spirit? Heaven is maximum holy living. And that's the fullness of God, the full expression of God, the full experience of God, the full awareness of God, the full revelation of God is the full holiness. It's the way he is all the time. And I want to be there. I want to go there. I want it to happen to this body of believers. I want it to happen to all our guest ministers. I want the awareness of the Holy Spirit to be so part of us, not the religious holier than thou, but the holiness that they say, man, I can't look at you. You're glowing. I mean, I can look at you, but there's something about you. You look like you're enjoying your life. What's wrong? What pill are you on? And the answer would be, I'm just letting God do this thing, live this life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what was the purpose of the Father sending the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus say, I've got to leave, but someone like me is going to show up? And they say, no, no, Jesus, don't go. No, don't go, Jesus. And Jesus says, it will be better for you if I go. Because when I go, the better part is the Holy Spirit of God is going to live on the inside of you. A different way to live. Nobody else in history lived with God on the inside. And then we have the fullness of God in the inside. And to do what? To do what? Well, I suppose I could ask him where I left my phone. He might know. What else could he do? Huh? If he'll tell you. Oh, he will. But, I mean, other than finding your phone, is the Holy Spirit useful for any other thing? What? Look, keys. Keys is good. Yeah. Where you parked your car. Yeah. But how about revelation? How about making your life efficient? How about being the best date maker between us and Jesus? Being the best one there? I'm going to have to do a lot of yielding. How do I yield? Well, how could I possibly yield? How could I do something different than I'm doing now? Maybe not hold so tightly to the things that I think are important. Maybe not cling to those things that have got me not very far so far. And saying, okay, this is some kind of uncharted territory. Let's go with it. It's when I think I've heard from God, I act on it. Well, what if it's not God? I'm going to get credit for thinking I acted on it. I'm going to get credit for doing my best to obey. Well, what if I miss it? You miss it by trying to obey God the best you know how? There's a learning curve here, and I think after a while you just get better at it. I'm going to try to yield to those things and do better at those things and see how it works out. So the Gideon that couldn't ask God on the inside of him because there was no God on the inside of him, and those, they look forward to our day where we think, you guys had it made. Don't talk to me in heaven about how tough it was being a Christian. God on the inside of you, angels on the out. Surrounded wherever you went, God on the inside, angels out. You had the name of Christ to use. You had Holy Scriptures to read. We had the Old Testament. We cut goat and sheep throats. We've got it made. We've got it made. We can hear from God. He'll talk to me. He lives on the inside of me. I've got it made. If I would listen, if I would at certain times be still and know that He's the Lord. You need to be working on your still times. You need to be working on your quiet times. When I mean quiet times, I don't mean grab your Bible quiet time. I mean don't turn the Christian song on quiet time. I'm talking about the still time. I don't care if you grab a camping stool and spray yourself with mosquito repellent and go find a tree and sit out there. The quiet, well, okay, air conditioned inside the truck. Yes, I got one vote from David. The quiet time when you can hear from God, because He talks all the time and He's got good things to say. He's the encourager. He's the comforter. You never have ideas inside of your head telling you're a failure, you're not going to make it, you're struggling. That's not the Holy Spirit. Why do you think one of his names is the helper? Who's he supposed to help? Yeah, me first. Help me first. I'll help them, but I need all the help I can get. The helper, the comforter, the encourager, the strengthener, the standby. Bless God. Bless God. Taking hold together with us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'll have to get the tape. God has been prophesying to me all night through me. I don't know if you've picked up on that. And I'm thinking, okay, God, how about everybody else? He's been speaking to me through me. If you don't know that you can prophesy your life, then you need to hook up with the Holy Spirit and let him speak those words so you can hear those words. Most of the words I've been saying tonight, I'm hearing as you are. I'm hearing the same time you are. I don't even know what the next thing he's going to say until I hear him say it, and then I hear it. What a wonderful place to be that I think I can hear God. What's he sound like? He's in your vision. He's in your dream. He's in your awareness. He's mixed in with your thoughts. There's an okayness to it. There's a peace with it. There's a joy. There's an encouragement with it. There's an awareness that you didn't even know how or where it came from, but there it is. Boom. And there's a seems right to it. Praise God. Praise God. More in love. 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 The more in love I am with Jesus, the more I am in love with Shelley. Did you know that? Why was I crabby and grumpy the other day? It was something. It was something. I remember the day I was fixing two toilets in the church. I cut my finger. Major catastrophic events. No, it wasn't. There wasn't any reason. I knew how to fix the toilet. I knew how to fix my finger. So I don't know why I was crabby or grumpy. I do remember the Holy Spirit took me back to a time. We were in Fairfield, out in the country for 8 years. We had to leave the windows open. It was so stinking hot out there. You walk in, the first thing you had to do to set up was sweep up 1,000 dead bugs. Wow. And you leave the doors open, and the neighborhood farm dogs would walk in, look around going, not my denomination, and would walk out. Different dogs. So everybody had left one Sunday, and I'm still there, doing folding chairs, and I'm vacuuming up the accumulated bugs from the service. The youth would put bets on the bugs. I thought they were getting excited. They sat over here. As I preached this direction, they're going, like, oh, they're really getting it. They're really getting it. I'd walk over here. They go, oh. I thought, wow, the anointing with the youth. And I move that direction. They're like, oh, yes, yes. And they were, there was bugs crawling across the floor. They were laying bets on if I would crunch one of them when I came over. And it's like, yes, he's going to. Oh, no, he missed it. And he walked back over here. I thought they were excited about the word of God, but they were betting on me crunching a bug while I wandered that direction. So it's after service, and I'm cleaning it up, and I said, God, I thought you said if I served another man's church, that you'd give me a church of my own. And the Holy Spirit said, you're vacuuming your church. I said, you're right. I'm vacuuming my church. I didn't have a church to vacuum before. Now I've got a church to vacuum. I vacuumed a couple days ago. Did you notice? Good job, Martha. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. She said, good job, Martha. So I'm thinking, yes, I'm vacuuming my church. I'm vacuuming my church. Isn't that a sweet deal? Because before, if I was just vacuuming the sidewalk or vacuuming the road, it just wasn't the same. I had stepped to a place. God never said you'd never vacuum your own church. He said, I'd give you a church if you serve another person, and God will bring that around. Like Paul made tents and all things like that. It didn't bother me. It doesn't bother me to clean stuff up around here. Sometimes Shelley gets a little bugged because I'm probably gone more or not including enough people that could be also doing it, but I want it done right. No. Ooh. See, there's pride, and there is an element of pride, and the Holy Spirit's also been telling me if I pick up an offense, that is also pride. So I am working on getting rid of pride by getting rid of all offenses. June. Because if I collect an offense, it's because it's about me. They said or did something against me, my loss. And the Holy Spirit said, that's pride. You should have no offenses. If you forgave them and let it go, it's pride that would bring it back. So, and this is this year that I've been learning about getting rid of pride in my life by letting go of even the smallest offenses that nobody sees, but it just happened on the inside of me and nobody saw it because I had the pastor face on. But I go around and I go, I can do this. This is easy. This is easy. This is easy. No matter what I'm doing, I say, this is easy. The second thing I say is this. You're helping me to the Holy Spirit. You're helping me. You're always helping me. You're always helping me. I say that all the time because He always is. What a different life. What a different life. So it was really weird being crabby and grumpy because it was like, what? I don't like this. I don't like crabby, grumpy. Shelly was so full of grace. She's like, come on, Gary, you're okay. You know, it's okay, Gary. Eat something. But she was so sweet. And I was like, she said, Gary, you can quit. Like, I don't know what you said. Quit beating up on yourself or just stop it. You've apologized like a dozen times already. And this is another thing the Holy Spirit told me. If I ask God for forgiveness and then 20 seconds later ask Him again, I didn't believe the first time. He said, quit asking for forgiveness more than once. Either you believe the word of God or you don't. If you do believe the word of God, I forgave you the first time you asked. I was doing this kind of like a penance kind of thing, paying for it. Well, I have to say it so many times, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Like, and that's self-righteousness. God said, let's just keep this sweet and short. If you believed it and you said it, it's done. Move on. What a different life I'm having. I want you to have a different life this week. I want you to pick up on the pieces that fit the spiritual transference of the love of God, his wisdom, his insight, his gifting and grace that is not just coming from our guest speakers, but are also going to rise up from the people that are visiting, where we can flow as a family and supply to each other this grace and that added together, the fullness of the grace being experienced by us all. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. On the inside of me, I feel and I hear this is a great life. Not based on what's happening in the world or the losses of the people going to heaven early. But this is a great life because it's a God life. It's a Christ life. It's an assigned life. It's a filled life. It's a powered life. It's a loved life. It's a full of love life. It's a life that God lives through me. How else is he supposed to live on the earth except through us? Well, he could just like get rid of all the people and just hang out here. He doesn't want to. He wants to live through us, live in us, and live through us. So his love and our love is the same love. That it's the same love. That when we love someone, it's his love that's loving them. That he loves them through us and with us. And they can't tell, is this love coming from you, Pastor, or coming from God? Like, you can't tell? No, then good. Because it's God's love and my love. He gives you that love, and then you use that love, and it feels like your love because he gave it to you. Now it's yours, and he experiences loving at the same time that we do. Praise God. Are you being loved from the inside out? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to say, I love you. I love you so much. I like living in you. Ah, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's so saturating the atmosphere right now from the inside out and the outside in, surrounding us and filling us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shelley wrote a poem that became a song, and the line in it says, full is not enough for me. Overflowing I will be. In the Old Testament, do you remember the overflowing cup? Why didn't they know where the top of the cup was? But you honored someone when they held the cup and you poured it, whether it was a new wine or whether it was water. You died without liquid in the desert. And you honored the person by filling it to the top, and then you kept pouring. And it ran over their fingers and onto the ground, and you were saying to them, you are so valuable that this value is worth wasting on you. Like when King David that poured out the water from the well that they had risked their life to bring, he said, this is too valuable to drink. The overflowing cup, when you're honored to the point where they reach the top and now it's spilling over your hands and they're saying, this is not as valuable as you are. So she wrote those words from the Holy Spirit, full is not enough for me. Overflowing, I will be. I want to be so filled with God that it spills over. It's beyond me so that the people around me experience what it is. I want to overflow where it sloshes onto them, where they sense what I sense. They see what I see. They know what I know, maybe, and more, greater. full is not enough for me. Overflowing I will be. And yet, how many Christians, they think, well, you know, if I could just get half full, you know, the cup half empty or half full, or 80% or 90%, what would happen if 90% of the Holy Spirit operated in you 90% of the time? You think that would be sweet, but what would happen if there was an overflow? What if it simply kept coming? The power of God and the love of God, they're the same, you know. The power and the love are the same. You pull the love, there's no power. God won't have anything to do with it. He won't have anything to do with the move of the Spirit of God unless the love is there. That's why he said, without love, tongues will be stilled. He said, I will not cooperate with that if love is not there. If you move a mountain or give yourself to be martyred without love, it's worth zero. It'll all stop, come to a screeching halt if love isn't there. We could celebrate the miracles, but if the love isn't there, God's saying, I don't know what you're celebrating. I'm not celebrating. So that's why he said this week is about falling in love with Jesus, being in love with Jesus, staying in love with Jesus, increasing our love walk. How about enjoying the presence of God, participating with the presence of God, yielding to the presence of God, allowing the revelation of God? Now, it's going to be a long week. That means there's a fatigue factor with these physical bodies. That means you hang in there as long as you can hang in there. Get some extra rest. Power naps. Lots of stuff like that. All of the above. Guilt-free timeout naps. Right? Well, I've got to be doing something. I should be something. You just can't have downtime. But that's this week. That's this week. That's why I was so excited about this week. Refreshing from the Holy Spirit right now. 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 Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sweet sleep. In Jesus' name. You mean now? No, I don't know. I don't care. If you fall asleep praying, then when you wake up, you can pick up where you left off. Okay? That's how I do it. If I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm praying and then I'm out and then I'm back, praise God.